All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, AT to DPT, with Greg and Daria. Greg Perry is a ATC and a current DPT for Houston Methodist here in Houston. He actually used to work with me here in the district, and so I know him as an athletic trainer, and then he left and went to physical therapy school, came back to the area. And then Daria as well, she's been on Dance Medicine before, and she kind of talked a little bit about her story, but she is a physical therapist for Foundations Physical Therapy in Washington Township, New Jersey, where she earned her DPT at Seton Hall in 2010 and earning a bachelor's degree from JMU. So it's actually, I'm not sure if I told you this before, but I was a camp counselor in Mechanicsville, Virginia for a summer. And so of course there was this, you know, summer romance type thing with this girl that she had just graduated from JMU. So that's the only connection I have with James Madison University, but that's long gone. I'm completely happy with my wife and do not, I'm not reminiscing about that, but anytime I hear James Madison University, that's what I think of. However, that's not what we're talking about here. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/DPT, because we're talking about becoming a doctorate of physical therapy, or doctor of physical therapy, whatever you want to say there. So this is, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/DPT. So Daria, Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, and then Daria, I know we kind of mentioned there your story, but just give us the overview of your athletic trainer story or experience, and then Greg will share his, and then we'll get into the physical therapy part.
Sure. I decided kind of later in high school I was interested in athletic training. So as you said, I went to James Madison University. And then when I graduated from there, I started working at New York, different per diem jobs with high schools, clinic outreach, a couple colleges. And I've also done research in athletic training on youth sport injury epidemiology for a university-based youth sport camp program.
All right, Greg.
So my athletic training stuff started pretty much in college. So I went to a really small high school up in East Texas, and we didn't really have an athletic trainer or anything like that per se. So the first time I actually heard about athletic training was my freshman year of college. So made a trip out, talked to everybody, kind of got interested in it a little bit, and started doing some following hours and stuff like that. And long story short, spent 4 years there in an internship program, which is something you can do in Texas, not all states. And that, at the end of it, kind of led to taking the test, getting certified, and along the way doing some stuff with the Buffalo Bills up in the NFL, up in New York, and then also to the school down in this school district, kind of like Jeremy mentioned earlier. So fun times, really enjoyed it, miss it still.
All right, so that's kind of one of the interesting things we're going to come up. So Greg was talking to me a little bit before we started just about whether he would go back and do the same path again, and we'll get to that. But so Daria, athletic trainer, you're you know, working with youth sports and some outreach stuff, and then you're doing athletic training research. So then what changed it to physical therapy?
During my sophomore year in college, I literally one day just went, what about physical therapy? I knew I wanted to go to grad school. I was looking at, you know, the GA model that many of us have done. I just wasn't finding anything that fit. And I honestly don't know why PT popped into my head. And then when I started looking into it, I saw that it was at the doctoral level, which I really liked. I was interested in learning about non-athletic populations. I'm just kind of just learning more in general. And as I thought about it more, I liked too that I would also be credentialed in another healthcare profession, as opposed to, you know, just having another degree. I also would be credentialed and licensed. And, you know, I was interested in going back home to New Jersey. I missed it. And there are some really great programs in the area too. And just kind of went from there.
All right. So Daria also has a fan club in the back, in case you hear that there.
Yeah. So my dogs.
All right. So, again, you said you were in college. You kind of said, hey, what about this? And then you looked into it. How long did you say it took you to make the decision, like, this is a possibility, let me actually do this?
It was pretty quick. And I had been exposed to physical therapy before. You know, I went as a patient in high school. My dad worked at a hospital and would organize take your daughters to work day. And I remember getting to see the clinic. I did some observation hours at the hospital. I have an aunt who's a speech pathologist, and I observed the PT at the school where she worked. So I just let it kind of start putting all the pieces together. And once I looked at the prerequisites and I realized it was going to be a lot more work fitting all the prereqs in with my athletic training courses and hours, I decided I'm going to do it. So probably within from that spring semester, my sophomore year till that summer, I had made the decision.
Wow, very good. Greg?
Yeah, so I started getting into it a little bit, actually still while doing the athletic training stuff. So we had a physical therapist who worked with Stephen F. Austin Athletics. And over the time, you know, we had people get injured and I'd have to go out there and, you know, got to know the guy pretty well, which led to, you know, following him around more, doing some observation stuff with him, and then eventually, you know, starting to get on kind of the path for the physical therapy stuff. So I always liked the rehab part of it. I always thought it was one of the more interesting parts of athletic training that you can get into. So I was always kind of drawn to that a little bit too. So when I started working with the guy, really, you know, kind of got the idea in the back of my head, you know, what about physical therapy? What about, you know, because the guy I worked with was a PT/ATC too, so I knew you could do them both, which to me at the time was like the best of both worlds. Hey, you know, I can still go do the rehab part of it that I think is one of the more interesting parts of athletic training, or maybe the most interesting, while, you know, I can still work with the athletes, I can still do all the event coverages and stuff like that. So really like that idea. And then kind of, I guess this was my junior year of college, really kind of set forth to start doing a lot of that stuff. And like Daria mentioned, all the prerequisites and stuff you have to get into to go to physical therapy school. Luckily, I started early enough because I still managed to fit most of those in my summers while still trying to graduate on time. But that's kind of how that started. Purely by coincidence, if my athletes didn't get hurt, probably wouldn't have started doing or wouldn't have gotten to kind of the physical therapy mindset for some of the stuff.
All right, so you began actually in college. And then how long did you work as an athletic trainer? Were you in Pasadena for 2 years, 3 years?
So after I graduated, I was up in Nacogdoches actually for a year. I worked up there for a hospital doing a lot of outreach stuff. I was a PT tech while I was doing that. So that was part of it. And then I was down in Pasadena for a year. And then toward the end of that year, I got accepted and ended up going back up to Dallas to start my DPT then. So 2 years pretty much.
All right. Daria, what were some of the big things that you had to consider? Things that were like, I don't know if I want to do this. I do want to know. Like just kind of what are the pros and cons, the list that you went through in your head or even on paper?
There honestly weren't many. Initially, you know, I was just making sure I could get all the prerequisites done in time because I didn't want to spend extra time in undergrad. So I managed to fit everything in those 4 years. And then honestly, the loans, how expensive it would be to go to physical therapy schools, I think a consideration for everybody. It's a lot. But outside of that, there wasn't really much debate on anything. I found, you know, the more I learned about the profession, it seemed like something that fit with my own values and my philosophies with healthcare. So that was it.
All right. So Greg, kind of same thing. What were some of the things that you went into your decision?
Right. So I'm going to go back to a little bit on kind of the reasoning behind it because I really like kind of the challenge of the rehab part of things. So that kind of went into it some. The working with different patient populations, the first time I saw a knee replacement, I think I just about lost my mind. I couldn't really like wrap my head around what they did and kind of what you had to do to get them back. So that just some of the newness in that I think was an early kind of driver of, you know, I'm not good at this. I don't know anything about this. And it kind of led me down the path of, you know, I want to learn as much as I can about this and really, you know, try to expand my horizons a little bit and learn more about different aspects of everything like that. So that's one of the things I think of most. Loans always go into it. Those are kind of a big deal, especially now with student loan debt going up and everything like that. But I mean, luckily, I got in it early enough that I didn't have to go back for an extra year of school or anything like that. My wife was actually still finishing up nursing school at the time, so I had a little bit of free time to go back and, redo a couple classes that I probably didn't take as seriously as I should have when I was in undergrad. So, you know, since I started working with working up there and some of the PT stuff, the tech world a little bit, really no doubt in my mind that I wanted to do it. It was just going through and making sure I had everything done well enough to really, you know, make myself notable and try to get into physical therapy school, which is half the battle there.
All right, so obviously loans, both of you said loans were a big factor, and then the time factor. One of the things that whenever I was considering going to physical therapy school myself, because I wanted to work with the NFL, and so some of those, you know, a lot of those guys now are dual credentialed, and so I was like, okay, well, that's what I need to do. So I was taking the classes, and then I did my internship with local physical therapy clinic, and those guys were great. You know, they took me in, they showed me evaluations and different things like that, but I had like trouble staying awake in the clinic, because I mean, I would just get hot packs, or I would stand and watch them, and I realized that, you know, for me, the internship was the most valuable like deciding factor, right? Because I was going to actually try and do the like the Army route, where you join the Army and do physical therapy school there, because then you're getting paid, you have the service, you get kind of more experience. From what I understand, the military has much less strict rules about what you can do, and so, you know, it was a really good option if that's what I wanted to do. But in going through that internship, and I know that's one of the things that you mentioned, Greg, was the networking, doing the internship, getting your feet on the ground there. That was the most valuable thing for me that helped me know that's not what I want to do. That's not where I want to be. And so, and again, that same thing with the Texans is I learned that was not the place for me. That's not the place where I can most impact lives, where I was, I don't know, more of a servant than anything else. Cause you're like, hey, take this guy to the doctor. Hey, do this, do that, do that. And so maybe, you know, for those guys like Roland or whatever, that's what they do, and they do that well. But for me, it just wasn't for me. So, all right. So some of the things that, looking back, that you wish you had considered more, right? Because you guys both said loans and the time. But what are some of the things that, man, I wish I had thought more about my decision, or thought more about this aspect, or obviously any of us that are listening, something that we should consider before we make that move? Narya?
I don't know how I could change it, but trying to balance, when I was an undergrad, athletic training, I also had a coaching minor that was in a different department, so that had all its requirements, and my PT prereqs was a lot. I ended up finishing 4 years with 5 years of credits. I don't know if I could have balanced that any better, but it was definitely very time consuming and took away from some fun in college. You know, I had summer courses that I had to take, and I worked at a clinic to get some of my hours in to apply too. So it was just a lot. I'm happy I did it. It was a lot of work at that point in time. So it was, you know, sacrificing, looking at the long run, and in order to go to be accepted to physical therapy school and become a physical therapist, and this is what I have to do now. So I wouldn't change it necessarily. It was a lot. I think that's it though. Other than that, I'm pretty happy with the path that I ended up on.
All right. So
yeah, I agree with that. So pretty much everything she said, I agree with. The thing that I think I should have considered more, which is something that I kind of put on the back burner at the time, was kind of the effect that a move would have like that. Because when I changed cities completely. So I went from Houston up to Dallas, which, for the people not familiar with Texas geography, is about a 4-hour drive in one direction, and it's absolutely terrible. But when you do that move, I don't know anybody in Dallas, really. So I moved up there. My wife had just started a really good job down in Houston, and with the benefits and everything she was doing, wasn't ideal for her to leave at the time because of how everything was going for her. So that really kind of, I lived apart from my wife for almost 2 years before I came back to Houston for my internship stuff at the end. And at the time, getting into physical therapy school and being really happy with where I got into seemed like, you know, a necessary evil. But kind of looking back on it, I probably would think that through a lot more, because that's kind of a big ask for, you know, my wife and, you know, everything she had to do you know, to make that happen. So that's definitely something I would look back on a little bit more. So wouldn't really change much of it, because I really like where I went. I like the whole process and everything. But just considering a little bit about the effects it has on the other people other than you two, I think is where I probably should have thought more about that, looking back kind of in hindsight.
Yeah, I don't know if I can make that move there without, especially now, you know, I have a wife and three kids, and so that certainly wouldn't have been an option for me, but definitely something to consider. I know that there are people that do that for, you know, short periods of time or whatever. Daria, did any sort of relationship, family issues come up whenever you were deciding to make those moves?
No, actually, because I was moving back home. I was going back to my family, which was really great. I hadn't met my husband yet, so there wasn't, you know, any issue there. My parents, my grandma, my sister were very happy to have me back home in New Jersey. So for me, that made things easier. You know, I had considered I could go to another state, go to, you know, the other side of the country, see something different. But I really missed being in Northern New Jersey, New York City area. So for me, that was easy.
All right. So, Greg, I am not sure if you wanted this public, so I'm going to say it anyways because you told me. So Greg said, looking back, if he was going to do things differently, he probably would have gone to the military and done a completely different job, being a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Yes.
And done something completely different. So tell me a little bit about why you would do that differently. And then, Daria, if you were going to go back and do something different, or would you do it the same? So, Greg.
Right. So I told him earlier, kind of just while we were chatting, that if I could go back and talk to my high school self, what I would do, I probably wouldn't listen. My high school self wouldn't. But I would say, you know, let's go try to go into the Air Force or the Navy or something like that. And then, you know, through one of the academies, and then try to go to med school. So with kind of the student loan thing where it is and how you have to go through, you know, all the loans and everything like that, the military, I think, is a good way through that. They pay for a lot of stuff. You get a lot of discipline. Just things I think are important. And I would tell myself, look, go into the Air Force, put your time in, and I would try to go to med school. Orthopedic surgery, cardiothoracic surgery, both things that I've seen surgeries for, and I think are really pretty interesting. So do I have the hands to be a surgeon? That's debatable. But would I give it a try? Absolutely.
All right, Daria.
I feel like a very non-linear path to get to where I am right now. I wouldn't have predicted that I am where I am now, or all the little steps that got me there. You know, and some other people know, I danced also. And that even kind of fell into my lap. I danced just for fun as a kid. I wasn't heavily trained or anything. And long story short, fell into teaching, and it's just has taken off from there. I'm having a blast with it. And I always think that if I hadn't gone from athletic training right to PT school and all my athletic training jobs, and then gone to Penn State and do research where I found my studio, where I started teaching, I then wouldn't have ended up where I am now at my clinic and working with all kinds of people and specializing in dance medicine. And I'm really happy. So, you know, sometimes people ask me, oh, if you could dance full time, would you? Maybe. I don't know. I'm enjoying where I'm at. And I've, you know, considered previously other healthcare professions. Like I mentioned, my dad was a respiratory therapist. One aunt's a speech language pathologist. One aunt was an OT, a cousin who's a neurologist. So I've been exposed to all these different things just being around my family. And for me, athletic training and PT have just always fit really well. So I can't imagine that I'd really honestly be happier with anything else.
All right, so one of the things that you mentioned there, where was I going with that? I love to build stuff. Like, you know, I talked about building this wall, and it's not super refined. Like, I'm not super good at making things, like, nice and pretty and that kind of thing. But I like to build things. And so I like to fix things and work out things. And my uncle owns a appliance repair business, and he was like, you know, hey, I'm in, you know, 5 to 10 years, I'm going to be looking to retire. And since I'm the sole employee, it's pretty much going to disappear. And so I was like, maybe I want to switch to that. But then, like you were saying, it's like, you didn't want to dance full time because you enjoy everything else. It's like, I really like working with the kids, being in the school system, being free to, you know, pick my kids up after school, 'cause I'm not on a service call, which doesn't always happen with athletic training, but it's really, like, I think that's something that I enjoy personally, but I don't think that is something that I would enjoy full time or being completely away from this, because I really like the athletic training and, you know, being able to walk into the gym and shoot hoops with the kids, or even as part of their rehab, you know, I'm balancing on one foot, bouncing a ball in the hallway, that kind of thing. And it's one of those things, you know, we talk about finding your passion, but sometimes that passion is really only a passion as a hobby and not as a full-time thing. So that's definitely one of the things to consider, you know, like Greg said, do the internship. Like Daria said, she's been exposed to those things, she knew, but definitely get some, not just one exposure, but multiple repeated extended exposures to those things as well. So,
and even within both AT and PT, because I know we always think about the clinical aspect, I'm working with patients, but also there's doing research and being an educator. And I've also, on the athletic training side, had experience with both of those, which I really enjoy. But actually, yesterday, I think it was, when I was looking at my Facebook memories, I had a post from a few years ago when I was doing research, how I need a job where I'm not sedentary and I'm constantly interacting with people, which I have now. I really liked doing research. I found something that sparks my interest and that helps people. But for me, to sit at a computer all day by myself was not fun. And when I would talk to my clinician friends, and I'd say, you know, I went the whole day, I didn't touch anybody. It's crazy. As a clinician now, you know, who, when you help people constantly, you're always touching people. So it's so weird to me to just be sitting by myself all day at a computer typing. So for me too, I like, you know, I had exposure to other aspects of athletic training and physical therapy, and then found the niche that works best for me.
Greg? Thoughts?
No, I agree. Right. Yeah.
So one of the things that you mentioned, Greg, was that you miss the game coverage, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so you miss, and that's one of the things that I considered as well as I was looking at physical therapy school or doing something different. Like, I like working with high school athletes. I don't want to work with mm-hmm. that total knee replacement, right. Really. I mean, or honestly, I don't know if I could handle working with like babies or really young children, because I don't know. To me, that's too heartbreaking. Like, you're kind of putting this kid through pain, even though like it's helping them, it's making them get better. But just for me, knowing that that kid doesn't understand and all they know is that I'm hurting them, I don't think I could do that personally.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who can do that. And so what do you think you miss most about being full-time AT?
It's definitely, you mentioned it a little bit, but it's definitely the game coverage. So in physical therapy, I still get to work a little bit with the, you still get to work with the kids. You know, you still get to get out. You get to get excited. You get to do some return to sport type stuff. But the actual being on the sidelines and being involved in the game, you know, kind of ups and downs, wins and losses type thing, and seeing the kids at halftime, taking care of people, all that kind of stuff, just the excitement of that, I really do miss still, which I still try to get out and do as much outreach as I can from time to time. But being busy full-time, 40 hours in the clinic and everything like that kind of takes its toll on that. But if I could find a way to get myself on the field a lot more, I 100% would do it. But Houston gets saturated a little bit in some areas, so not always easy.
Daria?
I definitely miss, at times when the weather's nice, I miss doing game coverage, event coverage. I'm really good in emergencies, so that's one thing I don't really have to deal with my job now. Everybody's pretty medically stable. But I kind of joke, but it's a real thing that energy and that rush you get being at a game, being on the sidelines. I perform at least once a month dancing. So I feel like I get that, what I need from that. I get dancing now. So there, you know, there are definitely times like, oh man, I miss this. I miss running on a field. I miss the adrenaline and being in those emergencies where you have to think really quick and think on your feet. But then for right now, it really works for me. I have a nice set schedule. I don't have to stand outside in crazy weather. So I know it is an option. If I would like to go back to doing, you know, even just per diem event coverage, that's always available. But for right now, I'm okay.
All right, so somebody watching live on Facebook actually asked to hear your thoughts on the NATA, APTA, the dual credential, the joint effort. Where do you guys know what he's asking about?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Daria, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, that's fantastic. When I was in undergrad, so 2002 to 2006, during that time frame, the associations were suing each other. They're just craziness going on, you know, and that affects, I think, the way each profession views the other one. And that puts both of those of us who are both in kind of a weird position. I've had the privilege of meeting the EPTA president at the Women in PT Summit last year, and she is fantastic. And I've gotten to speak with our NATA president just, you know, through social media. And it's really exciting to, rather than have, you know, a turf war going on or who's supposed to be doing what. And we just work together because the end, the goal is you want to help athletes, you want to help patients, you want to get people back to doing whatever it is they like to do in life, whether it's sport, going back to their job. And the better we can all work together towards a common goal, and not just us, other healthcare professions too, patients are better for it. You know, I see high school athletes who are also being treated by their local, their school athletic trainer, you know, and that's fine. That's completely okay. We can, you know, we can collaborate and work together. So I think seeing that coming from the, our associations and from our leadership is wonderful. And hopefully that, you know, just fosters more, a more positive relationship in the future.
Yeah, I totally agree. The more collaboration, the more working together you get, the better off the patients and all the athletes are in the long run. So really happy to see that they're starting to do a little bit more of the collabing stuff, especially since there is so much overlap between the ATC and the sports physical therapy worlds. Really, really glad to see that.
I love the physical therapists that we work with. Like Ryan Collins has been on here. Obviously, you know, both of you guys are on here. I've had Marcus and Mike, they've been on here. There's been lots of physical therapists that I've met and that are really good. And I'll tell anybody, I think that physical therapists do a better job of a thorough evaluation and do a better job of rehab, in part because of their training and their extra training and skill, but in part because of their one-on-one attention. Like literally in seventh period today, there's going to be 30 kids in here, 30 kids in here that me and Bill were trying to, you know, just juggle around. Like, all right, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. And then we also have anything, all the sports going on. And so I would prefer any fresh surgery, go to a physical therapist, get that one-on-one, learn those basics, let them help get the movement correct and do the assessments correct and make sure they're not pushing them too hard or they're pushing them enough. So as far as athletic training, again, I'm with both of y'all. I don't think there's any reason for us to compete or to work against each other. There's obviously a lot of overlap in the both of them. And so there's the agreement or the changes in the, I guess, the culture of physical therapy versus AT is really good for everybody. I was working a soccer game the other day and the kids were like, man, can you come work at our school? Our athletic trainer is mean. I was like, well, your athletic trainer is a single person at a 6'8 high school. They are freaking tired. I was like, honestly, I would be super cranky if I was doing that job by myself. So you guys need to go in there and be nice. It's like, you don't know that I'm nice like I am right now all the time. Okay. So be nice to that person. You don't know their situation. That job is tough. That is really tough. And so it's kind of the same thing as speaking well of other medical professionals, because it's good for the patient, it's good for the profession, and then they're going to turn around and speak poorly of you, or they're going to turn around and speak well of you, right? And so just consider that in each of your dealings there. So, all right, Greg.
Can I interject?
Go ahead. You got it.
So growing up, my dad, as a respiratory therapist, I feel like he did a great job just leading by example. Like, he never was lecturing or preaching to me or anything, but he would talk about, especially once I got into college, you know, what a respiratory therapist's role scope is, but then also there's overlap with nursing, and they apparently have had, you know, some similar things with AT and PT. And he would say the same thing, you know, it's just, you have to do what's best for the patient. So I feel really lucky that I had the benefit of learning that from him over time, as someone who had worked for decades and he was the director of respiratory department for a hospital. And then, like I said, also my aunt who does speech, you know, she's in a school district, would have to work with the PTs and the OTs and the whole care team. So I feel really lucky. I learned from an early age how important that is. And you could sit there and nitpick and who's doing what, but it's not productive at all. So then I've been trying to hopefully instill that to other people. What I felt like has helped me from, luckily, my family members.
So on that same question, do you have any of the physical therapists that you've worked with that have changed their perspective on athletic trainers because of you around?
I think so. I think, like, going into my PT program, at Seton Hall, they also have an athletic training program, the master's, and we took a couple of our courses together. But I know from my class that, because as soon as we started PT school, I started working as an AT, So I'd be, you know, going into school excited about my new job as an athletic trainer, talking about it. So they understood, you know, our scope and what we do. And then, like I said, being in classes with the AT students also is really helpful. And then I've been really lucky now where I work. I have my three coworkers and my boss already had, you know, very positive views of athletic trainers. And from working in outpatient settings for many years, they've worked with athletes who have also had ATs. And it's been wonderful. So I've been lucky where I haven't really gone into a situation where there was a PT who had a negative view of an athletic trainer.
All right, I got another question from Facebook. Adam mentioned the NATA DIN regarding PTSCS, and it was saying basically that some ATs feel like ATs is a certification step on our AT toes. Says now that they have additional healthcare education expertise and ability to do more within healthcare. What is the opinion regarding what's holding the AT profession back? So do you have any thoughts on that, Greg? Daria looks like she's waiting to jump
about
in.
It.
Holding the AT profession back for the SCS stuff?
I'm
not sure what the question's asking. Sorry.
Yeah, thinking about it.
So you're unclear too, Daria?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see if I can get some more clarification there. Adam, I don't know if I did your question justice, but I think you're basically saying like that the PTs have the SCS?
Mm-hmm. That's a sports certification specialist.
So,
certified specialist, sorry.
Sports certified specialist. So I guess it's saying it's making PTs more like ATs where they're having that experience there. Do you feel that steps on the toes athletic trainer?
Not really. The SCS does bring physical therapy a little bit closer to athletic training because a lot of the stuff that you have to do for that involves on-field coverage and athletic training hour coverage, stuff like that's part of what you have to go through to sit and take that test and apply for it. So it does bring them a little bit closer, gets the physical therapist who might not have ever had any real on-field coverage experience, on-field coverage hours, it kind of brings a little bit of that to them. So I see what he means when he asks that, but I think that goes a little bit more toward the collaboration thing more than stepping on toes. So I understand what he means, but I think it's a little bit more just to help collaborate. So the physical therapist will never be the first. They'll never just push the athletic trainers out of the way to run onto the field and cover stuff like that. And I don't think the SCS is meant to be kind of I don't think it's meant to be that way. I think it's meant to be more of just bringing people together a little bit better and getting the physical therapist a little bit more experience so they kind of see what the athletic trainers do and how it can collaborate a little bit better, if that makes sense.
That's a great way to put it. And when you look at, I forget the numbers off the top of my head, but you know how many high school athletes, and especially younger than that, all the child athletes don't have any sort of immediate healthcare professional available, you know, at a practice or a game or at school or what have you. That's an opportunity. If they're just for, you know, various reasons, aren't enough ATs to fill those roles, then there's more people who are available. You know, we on ATs, we can't do everything by ourselves. I don't believe in that jack of all trade mindset. So if we can have more people who are specifically trained to work with athletes, I think it's fantastic. I don't know if everybody knows, for PTs, you know, we have the option of sitting for these certification specialty exams, which are very extensive. It's not just, you know, like a weekend thing, and there's orthopedics and cardiac and women's health. So the idea is not just you're trying to take over like an AT job, you're just trying to learn more and become more specialized, specifically working with an athletic population.
All right, so I got a little bit of clarification here. it was actually two different questions. It was your thoughts on the SCS, and then now that athletic trainers are also doing the residencies and the specializations and stuff like that, what do you think is holding the AT profession back? So those are two different questions that I combined because I'm trying to do four things at once.
Okay. Yeah. I like the SCS. It's something that I've been considering doing myself. I've only been out of school just a little bit. So short of going and doing a residency in physical therapy myself, it's something I think is interesting, something I would like to do. I do think it's really helpful to get people who have not had an athletic training background onto a field. You know, it's something that's really hard to do if you just come out of a physical therapy clinic. There's not a whole lot of places you can just go out onto a field and say, hey, you know, let me work with your athletes. Let me sit in your training room hours. It's not that easy. So as far as the SCS, the residencies and everything like that for the physical therapist, I think it's a really good way to get physical therapists out there and on the field and seeing, you know, a different side of the sports perspective they don't normally get to see from inside the clinic. Okay. And as far as the residencies for athletic training, I don't know a ton about them. I know that Houston Methodist down in Sugar Land does some as well. So can't speak super confidently on what they do, but I feel like they probably overlap a lot of the same kind of stuff. You know, they get a little more clinical oriented, I believe. They see a little bit more of the stuff that maybe the therapist would see treatment-wise, which I think is a good thing. You know, we don't want to keep it to clinic versus field. We want a nice overlap in the middle so that if you do see an athletic trainer as a physician extender or something like that, they have some clinical experience that can be really beneficial, you know, for the patient they're seeing in that role. So I think that both the physical therapy and the athletic trainer residencies that get a little bit of that overlap is definitely a positive thing. And I think it's a good way to be going with healthcare the way it is.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think for PTs, SCS is great. If you have an interest in learning more about working with athletes from a rehab standpoint in a clinic, from being on the field, all aspects of it, I think that's a fantastic route to go. Like I said, it's a very rigorous process too. With the AT residencies, I know that's a newer thing and there's more that are popping up. I also think that's great. As long as they are, you know, structured, and the purpose is for the AT, usually like a newer AT, to learn, you know, that we're not just there doing all the busy work and the water bottles and all that stuff. But the real purpose is to become more educated, to gain more experience, to become more proficient in whatever, you know, area is you're interested in going into. It seems like a good option.
All right. And then one of the other questions is, and I think you guys kind of answered that with the SCS and the whatever the residencies is kind of. How can we better collaborate, you know, with these new things? And like you said, the SCS helps bring the understanding of what athletic trainers do, because a lot of your training in the SCS is coming to do on-field stuff beside an athletic trainer. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of residency stuff, like Methodist, they'll work in the PT clinic or they'll be in the hospital rotations. And so I think these different levels or certifications just in and of themselves bring them closer. And so the more I understand about what you do and the more you understand about what I do, then the better we can work together. But any other thoughts on how we can improve the collaboration between AT and PT?
I think with, coming from the AT side, I'll admit, like when I went into PT school, you know, I was thinking ortho outpatient, like, you know, I think most of us do. And then realizing, wow, there's so much more with neuro, TBI, spinal cord, strokes, pediatrics, geriatrics, wound care, women's health, all the, you know, the different areas. So I think on the AT side, making, like, you know, being a little, learning more about what the physical therapy profession entails. It's not just orthopedic outpatient. That's what us as ATs, we usually deal with, but all the other, the areas that when we go through school, we get a foundation in all of them. And then, you know, you kind of pick where you want to specialize. And then, you know, the same on the PT side, we're making sure we're all educated, understanding the role and the scope of an athletic trainer, what we can do, what we're trained in, what we're proficient in, what our strong points are, such as like on the field management. And then I think also go to each other's meetings. Go, if you're an AT, go to the APTA combined section, you know, go to your local, whatever the your state association is, and not even just PT, but I've had the benefit from presenting research to going to different physicians conferences. I got to go to the American Academy of Pediatrics meeting, which was my favorite meeting that I've been to. You know, it's a really great way to meet people from other professions where you know, you have overlap, or, oh, you work with teenagers, I work with teenagers, and how can we better understand each other? How can we understand each other's roles in helping somebody with an injury, helping them through the rehabilitation process?
Absolutely agree with that. I think the two main things that really help here is, one, collaborate with each other, and two is get to know each other. Because the more you know the people you're working with, the more you understand, you know, who you're sending your people to. You know, as a physical therapist, you get the ACL injury right out of surgery. You know, you might see them a couple times a couple times a week for the first month or something like that. And then with the way a lot of the insurance and stuff works, at that point, they start transitioning to the high school stuff. So the more you know the people you're sending them to, the more you know, like, the more you know who you're working with, the more you get to meet those people, the better off everything ends up going, the smoother transition it is. You know, go collaborate, shake hands, get names, you know, work with everybody. And I think that's really the biggest thing.
So one of the joys of doing the podcast here at the school is you get lots of bells and announcements, but that's just part of what it is, you know. So and if it was only the recorded version, not the live show as well, then it'd be a lot easier to just stop, cut it out. But we're doing a live show too. So okay, Daria, what do you enjoy most about being a physical therapist?
A great question. Part of this is very specific to my job at the clinic that I'm at, but I love that I feel like we're part of the community. Our clinic will be there. It'll be 5 years this summer. I'll be there 4 years at the end of April. And I have people, patients who have referred their family and their friends and friends of friends. And it's really great to see that people from our town and surrounding towns coming in and they trust us. One of my coworkers had explained it that he's someone's guy. You know, when this, somebody knows now, when I have an injury, I have pain, I go see him. You know, so it's really, I've been really enjoying that. Well, I'll see people for over these past almost 4 years, a couple of different episodes of care. Maybe they had a surgery and now they have a different injury. I've also really been enjoying seeing people of all ages. I've had patients in their 90s, and tomorrow I'm going to evaluate a four-year-old, which is the youngest patient I've treated so far. And, you know, and everything in between, and seeing for the four-year-old, I know it's going to be because she's towing in when she walks. For somebody in their 90s, it might be because they're having difficulty balancing. Maybe they have Parkinson's or another neurodegenerative disease like that. And it's just, it's really great, the variety that we see. It keeps me on my toes. It's never the same thing every day. Patients will ask, what do you guys see the most? I'm like, honestly, we see a little bit of everything. It's not that, you know, we're overrun with one particular diagnosis or body part or age group. And then also working with my coworkers, they come from such different backgrounds, and I love just watching them and seeing what they're doing. Even yesterday I said, I'm stealing that from you. That's a really great exercise. I like what you're doing with it. So I'm going to remember that now. And we have such a good, I feel like, working environment where we learn from each other and can teach each other, which is fabulous. I think that's so important to be in a work environment where everybody fits together. You're on the same page. You have the same sort of approach to healthcare. Those have been my favorite things.
One of the things that I know that I've seen you put on social media is like, try PT first. So basically you're saying, like, instead of going to an orthopedic or going to the doctor and then being referred, to try physical therapy first. So tell me a little bit about kind of why you're promoting that, and then what's been the experience.
Right. That's been I like that you brought that up, a really great movement within PT social media, which, you know, I mean, being on Twitter, PT social media, I think, is fabulous. And the idea is that, so it's the hashtag get PT first, that there are a lot of times where patients will go to a physician first, which is fine. But sometimes you don't necessarily need to do that. For say just like a common ankle sprain, you know, it's not broken kind of thing. And rather than having to go to the primary care, get your referral to ortho, maybe go through an x-ray and an MRI and all of that, to go to the direct route to PT, because we have direct access with our education and our training in all states. There's some form of direct access, which means you can come see us without a prescription. The stipulations vary by state. In the state of New Jersey, you have 30 days before you then need to see a physician. But it's to try to cut back on healthcare costs, to maybe cut back on an unneeded doctor's appointment, to cut back on unneeded imaging. And then with our training also, we will recognize yellow and red flags. So if somebody comes in and say, you know, that's not, something doesn't seem right, we can refer them back to their physician immediately. So trying to cut down healthcare costs, and also just trying to, on the turnover too. I remember just when my husband tore his ACL, you know, the weeks and weeks it took for the doctor's appointment and the ortho appointment and the MRI to finally get to the surgery. So for non-surgical things, you know, just trying to get everything a little quicker and trying to decrease people's pain quicker.
All right. And then a similar question as far as, like you said, the direct individuals, and then as far as athletic trainers possibly doing third party billing,
do you see, and like I was saying before with, you know, that, we have patients who come back to us for future episodes of care. Yes, that they know, you know, I know I don't have a fracture or, you know, something more serious where you require a physician, that they wake up in pain or something, an injury happens, and they know they can get in to see us that day or the next day and, you know, just get the process going rather than having to wait and go through all these hoops first.
So then kind of along those same lines, do you see athletic training moving towards direct access? Would that benefit athletic training, maybe in helping to grow the profession or the public perception of the profession?
With athletic training, I'm not sure, because I know most states require that you're working under a physician. So with PT, with direct access, that's, we don't have that. We're autonomous. We work on our own. So I'm not sure from that legal standpoint right now how that would or would not work. I think where athletic training, education training is at right now, that would work with some populations. But then it's also looking at where are we at? You know, we're the focus on obviously working with athletes in a physically active population. I don't know if it would be appropriate for ATs to have direct access with all populations, but with athletes, I certainly can see the benefit. I'm just not sure legally how that would work right now.
Okay. I just know that like the third party billing or the direct access or those kind of those have been conversations that I've seen in, you know, different social media circles, just talking about how athletic trainers are kind of branching out of just a traditional secondary school. And so just kind of getting your thoughts there. So
billing is a whole other, I try to bring up sometimes on Twitter when it comes up, the third party billing is, it's difficult. What is required to get reimbursed, all the documentation and sometimes authorization and all of that, it's a lot. And then, like I said, with the where athletic trainers are legally with their scope, I'm not sure if we're there yet.
Gotcha. Fair enough. I honestly am not wanting to do billing and all the documentation required. So, but if that's where we're going, I guess that's where I'll go. All right. So, Greg, what do you enjoy most about being a physical therapist?
So, I like the challenge of it, to be honest. So Daria mentioned it earlier. You can see anybody. Anybody can come through your clinic at any time. My youngest patient right now is 11 years old, and my oldest one turns 92 tomorrow. So, you know, it's everything from low back pain, it's shoulder impingement and everything that comes from that. You know, it's joint replacements. You get ACL kids. I mean, you can see just about everything. So, you know, there's always a challenge walking through the door. Nobody's the same. You know, two people that had the same surgery by the same doctor on the same day can present very, very differently from each other. So it's always the challenge of seeing that and, you know, realizing, you know, where I am now, where they need to be in this many months, and how you get there, I think is the thing I enjoy most about it. It's always a challenge, and that's the funnest thing. I think that's the thing that, you know, keeps you excited, getting up every day and going into work, is that you never really know, you know, what's going to happen that day, who's going to come through your door, what you're going to have to deal with. And that's the same thing that I really liked about athletic training too, because at any moment, you know, your best player can go from scoring touchdowns to rolling around on the field, and you have to be able to, you know, think on your feet, stay composed, you know, take care of, you know, your situation here, you know. And I think that's the most exciting part about it. That's what keeps it from ever really getting stale, is there's always change. There's always something different, something to be thinking about, somewhere to get better. And that's kind of what I like most about the PT and athletic training, for that matter, is it's much different than sitting behind a desk and, for example, doing audits or something like that, where it's essentially, you know, you're close to the same thing over and over. You never really get that in physical therapy or athletic training. So definitely enjoy the challenge, and, you know, the thinking on your feet is my favorite part of it for sure.
Daria, tell me how, you know, I think we've kind of covered it in different aspects, but how has athletic training benefited you being a physical therapist? Or like, if someone wants to follow in your footsteps, why is it a good idea for them to do AT before PT?
For the first question, a very specific memory for this. I only had been at my current job for, I don't even think, a couple months. And my boss had commented that I stay calm, like regardless of how busy or hectic it gets, you know, I kind of can keep my cool. And I've had other people comment that to me, you know, over all these years. And that's definitely coming from athletic training, a large part of it. I remember my program director, Herb Amato for undergrad, had said, in a crazy situation, if everybody's breathing, then it can't be that bad. And that stuck with me because obviously ATs were in situations, you know, sometimes of fortune where people aren't breathing. So I think that really has helped. I'm good at, I think, multitasking and, you know, jumping around when things get busy, because that's what I started with athletic training. In terms of doing both, my view is do both if you want to do both. You know, if you genuinely have an interest in being an athletic trainer and what that entails, and also genuinely have an interest in being a PT and what that entails, go for it. But to just to do one, just to have the letters or to say, oh, I'm also this, I'm not a big fan of. I know right now I'm not working as an AT, which I honestly didn't predict years ago. But it's doing what, like we said before, you know, what makes you happy, what fits for you, but also that you have a genuine interest in. You know, so I started PT school feeling, you know, confident. You know, I've been working with athletes as an athletic training student, just started my first AT job. So I feel like that definitely helps me get into school. But I also, like I said, genuinely had an interest in being an athletic trainer.
Greg?
So I'm really glad I did athletic training first. And the reason for that is because when you kind of think, I kind of think of it in the path of how, you know, how the athlete or how the patient goes through their injuries and everything. So they get hurt and it's up to the, you know, the injury on the field all the way up to where, you know, they see a doctor. So that's where I feel like the athletic trainers really have the edge here, is that acute, you know, that acute stage injury, the emergency stuff. So I'm really glad I learned that first. So you kind of get up to that point when you transition over and all the therapy after the fact, which the athletic trainers still do a good job at. But I feel like that's where physical therapy really kind of excels a little bit, is, you know, after they're more in that subacute phase, kind of going out a little bit farther, I think the physical therapist kind of in that middle section are really good there. But then when you start to go return to play, that's an area where I think that physical therapists still aren't always the best. So physical therapists are really used to having people, you know, they come in, they hurt their shoulder hurts, they can't reach overhead, they can't reach behind their back, that kind of stuff. And they're really good about getting a baseball player, for example, back to where, you know, his shoulder doesn't hurt, his range of motion is good, all the limitations he had are better. But it's that return to play, all right, let's get him in a throwing program, let's start doing some preventative type stuff to make sure this doesn't happen again. That's where the athletic trainers, I still think, are better. And physical therapy is making pushes to be better at the return to sports thing, which is, I'm glad to see it. But kind of that whole spectrum, I feel like having the experience as an athletic trainer in both the acute phase of the injury and then also kind of at the end and the return to play, the getting them back on the field, the working them back, the athletic trainer part of me is better at those two things because I did it first, and the physical therapy part of me in that middle part is where that's really good. So, you know, not saying that a physical therapist who was never an athletic trainer or an athletic trainer who's never a physical therapist can't do a good job of the whole thing, but I think from being able to do both of those, you get a lot better sense of the injury kind of in its entirety because of those. And I think athletic training really helped. So I feel like as I was going through PT school, especially in the orthopedics and the sports parts of PT school, athletic training really helped. So I knew how to do some easy muscle testing. I knew what to look for special tests. You know, I knew how to do some goniometry stuff, and all that stuff comes back in physical therapy school. So, you know, when a lot of my classmates were trying to figure out how to do a Lachman's test and, you know, had their hands wrong and they were just confused about it, couldn't really feel, you know, the movement of the knee or anything like that, I had been doing it for 2 or 3 years. And I felt like when it came back, it was more of a review with a little bit more information about kind of the surroundings of the surgery and everything like that. But I felt like a lot of it, especially the more sports-related injuries, were a little bit more review. So I really think the athletic training first, at least in that quarter of physical therapy school, was that much easier because I had done it before, I had seen it before. So really glad I did AT first because I think it really helped in the long run with physical therapy school, at least in the orthopedic part of physical therapy school.
One of the things that I'm actually currently working on is setting up a rotation to where I take my student athletic trainers to the local physical therapy clinic there with Methodist. And my thought is every Friday, take them for an hour or two. Just take one or two students. They get to be there in the clinic, experience, see what they do, and see kind of how we work together. But then also at the same time, I'm getting to, if I'm taking them, then I'm getting to spend that time over there with the physical therapist and getting to see what they do, and we're kind of getting to know each other. And so that's not everybody's situation. They can't do something like that. And, you know, we're still in the process because you have to have all these contracts and legal agreements and whatever. But that's something I'm working on setting up because it helps my students. It helps me. It helps our athletes. It helps the physical therapist. And it's really just a matter of time. Am I willing to not sit here and put in, you know, rank one or injury treatments for a little while, or, you know, not sit here and check out Facebook for a couple hours so that I can go and do that. And so, again, if it works for you, then do that. If not, then maybe you can modify it to where, you know, the school bus route picks those kids up, takes them, drops them off when they're done, that kind of thing. But you're still communicating and they're still getting to know your kids, and it's building that gap and saying, hey, physical therapy is good. Physical therapy is good and athletic training is good and they work together and those kind of things. So it may be an option for you there.
That's excellent. When I was in PT schools, so we had 4 internships, but you can only see so many of, you know, the settings and specialties. So we did, I called them field trips. They took us on all these different site visits. Our first one, we went to a long-term neuro outpatient clinic specifically for patients who had suffered from severe traumatic brain injuries and or spinal cord injuries. You know, went to different schools, one specifically for children with autism. We went to a subacute geriatric facility, an acute hospital for people with spinal cord TBIs and strokes, and all those other settings. And it was so great to be able to see all these different things, which I wouldn't have gotten just for my internships alone. And I don't know that on my own, I would have thought to, you know, let me go look at all these settings I haven't seen before. And so the more you can expose people, it's wonderful.
Yeah, we've taken them to the rodeo before, and, you know, they get to see the rodeo sports medicine stuff there. So that's just a great time for the, wait, what's going on here? Sorry. This cameras thing is really tripping me out today. And so, like, you know, just like you said, taking them to a college, taking them to the pro sports, the field trips are really cool because the kids get to do something outside, but they get to see something else, another option. Maybe they don't want to do this, but they do want to do nursing or physical therapy. Cool. I'm glad I could help you get that direction. And that's one of the things I love about high school is I am literally shaping their future. So every medical professional that I encourage or recommend or expose them to is not only shaping their possible career choice, but it's also in the back of their mind, physical therapists suck. Physical therapists are terrible. Don't go to physical therapy. Or physical therapists are great. Physical therapists are great. They're going to help you. They're a great part of the team. And so I'm putting that in there as an athletic trainer, as an educator, as a medical professional. And so the more that I can do that, the better off we kind of all are in the process of providing patient healthcare. So, all right, we are towards the end here. Greg, kind of reflect on if there's something that you're going to tell one of us that is considering going to physical therapy school or changing careers from athletic training, what's that going to be? And then Daria, you're next.
Mm-hmm. So my main thing, if it was me and I wanted to hear advice, my main advice would be to definitely take your time when you're looking through this. Don't jump to irrational choices where you just, you know, kind of get the bug one day and think, oh, I want to go to physical therapy school. Definitely take the time and think it through, you know, go check out a couple programs, you know, get in contact with people. You know, if you have friends who are physical therapists or athletic trainers or anything like that, find somebody who does something similar to what you want to do and get their opinion. Because usually those people have gone through it. They've made the same decisions you're making at the moment. So talk to them, see what they think, see what their plan was, how they went about it, and then use that and kind of reflect on it. And, you know, definitely think it through. Think of how it affects everyone around you. Think of how it affects your future going forward. And if you're fine with that and happy with how all that would go, then definitely get into it. So think it through.
Daria?
Agreed. I would say if you're kind of debating on PT school, go to the APTA's website, look at the vision statement, the mission statement. I was saying before, for me, it's a really good fit in a nutshell, regardless of specialty area or setting that we work in. We help people move better. You know, for me as a dancer, as a runner, that's is in line with what I've been doing for almost my whole life. So to see, you know, really do your homework on what the profession is. Like Greg was saying, you know, go to look at different programs, look at the coursework required. Yeah. Like I was saying before, we always think ortho outpatient, but there's all these other specialties that you have to learn about as well, and see if that is something that interests you. You know, and I take, I'm predominantly see with being outpatient, I also see patients with other conditions, and I'm taking things that I learned from all of my other coursework and continuing education that I do. And then also, you know, I'm a big fan of social media. Contact people on with PT Twitter. There are tons of us. Ask us questions, you know, ask about the process of applying to going through PT school. There are a lot of us who are dual credentials. We are more than happy to answer questions. You know, ask if you have somebody in your area, do some observation hours, go look at all these different settings that you could potentially be interning at or working at, and learn as much as you can early on to make sure, you know, it's something that really fits with you.
I think that's exactly what I tell students all the time is internship, try it out, ask questions. You know, I'll get kids coming in. All right, hey, did you fill out our scholarship? Hey, did you fill out that college application? And I just ask them day after day, because that's, you know, what they need to be working on. They need some encouragement. And again, setting up the process to where they're exposed to those other people, it only helps, because they don't know to ask those questions. And in the area that I'm at, a lot of the kids don't have parents that went to college. And so the parents don't know how to coach them up on getting ready for college. So that's one of the cool parts about my job, is I get to be that person that encourages them. And maybe they come back and say, hey, you know, you made the difference. Maybe they don't. But the fact is that I have the opportunity to make a difference there. So, Daria, you mentioned AAPTA. Is that right? What other resource would you recommend for someone who is considering making this move or looking into physical therapy?
Podcasts. there are a lot of physical therapy podcasts that I listen to them often. And they cover such a range. So you can hear, I was just on one last week, Tough to Treat, and they're talking through different challenging cases. You could hear, what is it like to be a physical therapist? And you have a patient who comes in, what are you looking at? What are you doing? There's one, Healthy, Wealthy, Smart, that I really like, and you'll hear about all aspects of physical therapy and people who work in a variety of settings. Just so you can really get a feel for, like, what does this profession entail? And you're hearing it directly from a physical therapist speaking about what they do. I absolutely love listening to this podcast and learning a lot. Like I said to you, yeah, and please feel free to contact us on social media to ask questions.
All right. So but you said Healthy, Wealthy, Wise?
Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart.
Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. All right, so that's it. I think I've seen that one before.
It's a fantastic
one. Yeah, so you've been on it before, is that what you said?
That one, no.
Oh, okay. So Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. That's a good option there. What is another physical therapy podcast you like?
Tough to Treat.
Tough to Treat.
Religiously. There's another one also. This is a little tangent, but it touches on physical therapy a lot. And this is stuff I did not know as an undergrad, even going through PT school. Pain Reframed. We as physical therapists deal with people who have pain, and not just, oh, I rolled my ankle and I have pain at my lateral ankle, or I broke my arm and now my arm hurts, but who have all this chronic, ongoing, persistent pain. And that podcast has people from all different professions talking about all these aspects of pain and how we help people. So going back to that collaboration and how we all work together, that really it's really interesting to me, and it makes me think about a lot of things I hadn't thought about previously. Like I said, it touches on physical therapy a lot.
Greg, you had mentioned... Okay. You had mentioned the APTA is a good thing, but you also said that it's important to check each school's website. So
right.
Tell me about that.
All right. So all the different schools are going to have different requirements to get in. They're going to have different, for example, like GPA requirements, and they'll have different or slightly different prerequisite requirements and everything like that. So the worst thing you could do is spend all your time getting ready to go to PT school, and then you start doing your applications and you get rejected because you only had 12 instead of 14 hours of advanced biology or whatever it was. So make sure you look at all those things, because it's small errors like that can set you back, you know, an entire year of application. So just take a look at them. And a lot of the places will have openings, like open days. You can go look at them. So like, for instance, UT Southwestern has some where you can come, you can they'll send one of the current students out with you, and you can go around and they'll show you, you know, this is where we do cadaver lab, this is where most of your classes are done, here's our clinic where we do treatments, here's our gait clinic, all this kind of stuff. So almost all the places, you know, if you call them up, if you talk to their faculty, you know, they'll have open days where you can come and you can learn anything you want about the program. You can ask questions, you can meet current students, you can meet the professors. And that's a really good way, I think, to kind of get to know, you know, what that program's about. So not all programs are going to be the same. Some will focus a little more on research, some will be a little more neurological driven, some will be a little more orthopedic driven, even though you'll learn all of it. Some of them, depending on their resources and who's around them, will have slight different variations like that. So talking to people, you know, going to the actual school itself and meeting everybody, I think is almost invaluable, because you learn stuff that way that you can't learn in other ways. You can look at the website and you'll learn a lot, but if you actually go there and meet the people, meet the students and talk to them, you'll learn a lot more. So I highly recommend doing that.
All right. So again, if you're unhappy in athletic training in your current situation, maybe try a different setting in athletic training. If that doesn't work, then you can try physical therapy. Later this month, I'm going to be talking with someone who is an athletic trainer that went to nursing school, or an athletic trainer that went to PA school. So if this isn't your passion, if this is something that is drudgery, then make a move. It's okay. We're medical professionals. We work together, and you know, let's continue to grow, and your experience as an athletic trainer will help you understand and possibly advocate for athletic trainings like Daria did in her clinic, and helps her stay calm now at the PT clinic when things are crazy, and she better understands what her local ATs or what her local athletes are getting told. Same thing with Greg. So if you need to move, make the move. Just consider all these decisions. Like Daria said, reach out to them, listen to some podcasts. Like Greg said, get your feet on the ground, go experience the clinic, and do, you know, what works for you. Because if you look at yourself in 10 years, are you going to be happy where you are? Me, I plan to retire from right here at Pasadena High School. I like the kids. I like the situation. So it would have to be something really, really good that allowed me a lot more free time with my family to cause me to leave. But I really like it here. I really like what I'm doing. So I don't see me going off to do some other school certification program. But you have to do what works for you. So I think that is going to close us out there. Daria, any final words?
Just to reiterate what you're saying, do what works for you. Do what you are best at too. You know, don't try to make the square peg fit in the round hole type of thing. There's within athletic training, physical therapy, other areas in healthcare, there are so many options available. There are so many choices you can make. You don't have to, on the AT side, you know, we know the traditional high school, college type settings, but there's so many other things you can do. And the same going into PT, we have all the different areas you can work in, tons of settings. It's really find what works for you. You don't want to, like you're saying, you don't want to, you know, spend your whole life going to a job that you don't like. You want to be able to be your best self so you can help other people. Because if you're not in a good place, it's going to be very, very difficult to try to help other people.
So Daria, before you leave, you're supposed to be on two other podcasts like this week, this month. Tell me what those are.
Yeah, I did one last week for Tough to Treat where I talked through working with a patient who is a challenging case. And the two women who run that podcast, they have a lot of experience. So they were giving me a lot of ideas. And then next week I'll be recording a podcast for my tap dance teacher, Hillary Murray. She talks about all areas of tap dance, but I will specifically be talking about injuries and injury prevention.
So that was called All Areas of Tap Dance?
Her podcast is called Lost in the Shuffle. Yes.
All right. So for Jeremy, Daria, Greg, did I cut you off? Did you have anything else you were
going to throw out there? No, I think you guys did it pretty good.
Okay, cool. So for Jeremy, Daria, Greg, and the Sports Medicine Broadcast, encouraging you to kind of find your passion, to improve as an athletic trainer, and just grow. That is a wrap. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.